Hey, stupid nerds, download the Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. So you can find out what happened to Frankenstein and the Wolfman and all that fictional stuff that never happened. And don't pay attention to World War II or the American flag or important things.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
We're back.
We are back. You're back.
Yeah, I guess. Hot damn.
Welcome back, buddy. You've been away a while.
Man, yeah.
A few weeks.
I've been gone for 3 weeks. So I don't think it's any secret that sometimes we backlog these episodes in our timeline that we try to act like what happened. Like, we recorded everything for the past 3 weeks. I left the day after the election. I just got back last night.
That's right.
The 30th. Yesterday was the 30th. Check my Fitbit.
Yeah, 22 days.
Oh, it's the second today.
Yeah, 23 days.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, welcome back, buddy.
Thanks, man.
How did it go? Yeah. You've been all over.
Well, okay. So we recorded. It's a weird thing. The last time we recorded was right before the election.
Yeah, this is our.
And I was like, oh, boy, it wouldn't be crazy if Trump won. And now it's there's a general blanket of fear and depression over the country since the last one.
Yeah, people are freaking out. And rightfully so.
Yeah. I mean, we're not trying to get too political mm-hmm. here, but for the love of God, this is a preposterous thing that has happened.
Yeah.
And fuck. That was, which is basically everybody's like, really? Really? And then every day has just been, maybe I'll read the news. Why did I read the news today? Every day is just worse and worse. And last night he had his first celebration rally.
Yeah.
Because that's what everybody likes, is a winner that gloats. Man, nothing says class like Gold LeMay and gloating after winning.
So what is he doing? Is he literally just going on a little tour or a speaking tour? Like multiple cities just for the purpose of, hey, told you so?
Pretty much, yeah. The told you so tour. So that's been 3 weeks. I left. I was in New York City. I was on tour with the Falcon and Arms Aloft, and that went it went all right. You know, I was going up between bands. Mm-hmm. And it was okay, except for Montreal, where the language barrier.
Ah.
And also the disposition of the crowd.
What do you mean?
There are some real fucking dickheads up there.
Just a lot of folded arms or hecklers?
Okay. We talked about hecklers last time and mm-hmm. stuff. And this just some young lady that I'm pretty sure she's either on drugs, because I was out in the parking lot before the show started. She came up to me. She spoke English. She was like, hey, do you have a cigarette? I was on the phone with my sister. She was like, do you have a cigarette? I was like, oh, no, I don't smoke. Yeah, but do you have a cigarette? I don't have cigarettes. I don't smoke.
Yeah, but I just answered you.
Okay, but do you have a cigarette? And I was like, okay, either you're fucking with me. Because, oh, God, you know what's great? Punk rock shows where everybody's like, watch, look how crazy I can be. I was one of those assholes when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
So I can't complain about it. I'm like, nah, I get it. I understand.
When you were a teenager, how old was this gal?
Well, this is Montreal, so I think, I don't know what the legal drinking age. She looked like she was 17, 18.
Oh, okay.
But then just sat on the stage. I don't think they understood what I was doing. Like, language-wise, it's French-speaking.
Uh-huh.
But then with not understanding came not a lot of heckling. There's enough people there that did get it and were listening. And I was like, I knew it was coming, so I was kind of trying to deal with it. But this girl literally sat cross-legged on the stage in front of me and continued to interrupt. And I was like, I understand that you don't know what I'm doing and anything, but here's the mic. Do you want it? She'd be like, fuck Trump. I'm like, nobody at a punk rock show is really – going to argue with that baseline statement.
Yeah.
But she was just drunk out of her mind. And then it was fun for the bands to watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you watch a friend of yours having like a show that's the show, like they're not doing bad because it's their fault. So it's fun to watch it fall apart.
Yeah. Don't most people in Montreal, aren't they bilingual?
I think bilingual for something they want to be bilingual for, okay. But not for a comedian in the middle of a punk rock show, I think.
Because when we were there together a few years ago, remember, we ate McDonald's every...
All right. Well, it's the Boogie Monster with Dave and Kyle, and I fucked up the recording again.
Oh, you're not gonna be so hard on yourself.
You know what? I'll do the joke later.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more fun.
What joke? Oh, the joke.
I'll talk about my journeys.
Oh, so we
now I just did. I'm not gonna look at you in the face and try and get a fake laugh out of you.
I'll still laugh.
Listen, I think we're doing a stellar job of this podcast, but I'm not gonna fake it for him. You're not getting like bad production.
Well, you got to tell me the ER story again, though. Not me. You got to tell the listeners.
I'll get to the Canadian emergency room story later. Watch how smooth I slip it in later on. Maybe we should be having drinks so I don't feel so self-conscious about
it. Yeah, have some drinks.
Well, you know what? But we started the other one. If we find it, I'll put it at the front of this one, too, just so it sounds even weirder that we're just starting again after 5 minutes of bullshit.
That's what happens, though. That's what happens when you screw up the recording.
Yeah, well, if not the first time, won't be the last, as long as I'm trying to keep that producer credit. Boogie Monster, executive producer. You got any complaints about sound quality or where it's going? That's my fault.
So anyway, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks, man.
You were out for what, about 3 weeks, Oliver?
Out for 3 weeks. I left the day after the election and got back last night, which was December 1st.
Okay.
So
did several shows in Canada. How many shows did you do with the bands?
I was out, I think I did 8 shows with the Falcon. I left and I went to Caroline's. I did a weekend at Caroline's in New York City.
How was that?
It wasn't bad. You know, I thought working in Times Square was going to be like a lot of tourists and shitty, mm-hmm. but it wasn't bad for being a comedy club in Times Square. And it was, you know, it was like Andy Sanford was doing guest spots.
Oh, cool.
Rojo Perez, Shane Torres were on the, you know, they were on the show. So
great.
I saw my friends and people came out. It wasn't bad for being New York City, uh-huh. like Times Square, New York City tourists.
Yeah.
And I don't know how people deal with, like, I just get panic attacks walking through that many people now.
Yeah, Times Square is rough.
And it's just
just too many people.
Everybody, like, they never saw electricity before.
Yeah.
Yet they're taking pictures with their phones.
Too much of that, too. Just so much. Well, so many neon signs.
You know what? You get to visit so many places, as I'm sure you do, not as a tourist. If I visit a place as a tourist, I want to take pictures.
Yeah.
And all that, but I'm there to work. And it's,
yeah.
But just I can't deal
yeah.
with all the people, man. Oh, I need nature. I need some nature.
Yeah. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good, real small.
The family?
Mom and dad, sis, me, yeah, just sitting there having just the close family.
That's great.
And mom did a good, she was complaining that the bird was dry, but it was just that white meat. You got yeah. that dark meat, as we know
yeah.
here. That's got to get that dark meat.
What kind of sides did she have?
You get the standard, the one that is going to come with every meal is a broccoli cheese casserole.
Oh, yeah.
Which is good. It's good. Nice. That's a given. She'd forget plates sooner than she'd forget to make broccoli cheese casserole. She'll serve it on the table in front of you without a plate under it.
Casseroles are big in the Midwest.
I don't. What? Why is that? Is it just maybe you're not? And I don't mean this as an insult, but not wildly creative with the cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you are, but that's an all-encompassing, like a casserole dish is a nice canvas to start with.
Yeah,
is that maybe that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And there's not a whole lot of attention to detail, you know, when you're combining kind of those foundation ingredients.
Yeah.
So it's just an easy, it's kind of hard to screw up.
Well, and you're making food for a family.
Mm-hmm.
You got busy whoever might be the one at home, if it's two parents working and they don't want to get fast food, a casserole is mm-hmm. something you could whip up and feed a group of people.
Yeah.
Ooh, are we leading to a casserole recipe here, Dave?
I could pull one out of my ear,
yeah.
but we'll get to that. That wasn't where I was heading. I was just
no. I'm sure we had 3 weeks for you to think of a think of a dish. So,
well, that's great, man. So good, good Thanksgiving.
Yourself? Yeah,
I spent Thanksgiving alone.
Wow, all right.
But it was good. It was a good thing. As I've mentioned before, I live with 3 other dudes, so it's a 4 dude household. All 39 or 40. We're all in the same age range.
All right.
And good dudes. Ryan, of course, you know, one of my best friends, mm-hmm. so no complaint there.
And the Ryan Singer of last week's Me and Paranormal Youth.
Exactly.
He was nice enough to let us rebroadcast.
Yes, yes.
Because we did not make enough catch-up episodes.
And, he said he got that boogie bump, by the way. He said he got a spike in the numbers.
Boogie bump. All right, good, good.
But anyway, no, they were all out of town or doing stuff with their respective families. And it was I've lived with these guys a year now, and I think maybe this was the first day that I've had the apartment completely to myself.
Oh, okay.
So it was, you know, I was completely alone, but I got a few invites to some other stuff, but I was like, nah, I'm going to take advantage of this, and just spent the whole day just watching football, and I made some homemade Cajun red beans and rice.
I watched the progression photos on Instagram.
And I apologize if people get annoyed by my Instagram. It's just
but
all
you're
food.
You're making the food.
Yeah.
It's not like you went to a restaurant.
Yeah.
You're showing people the process. I think that's interesting.
Yeah. Just with pictures, no words. But no, it was great. I mean, I won't get into it right now as far as all the details, but took about 6 hours from start to finish, and oh man, it was worth it. Kate, I've talked about this before.
I'm gonna cough, but I'm getting over being sick.
No, that's
so if
fine.
I cough, I apologize.
I've talked about
listeners.
This before. Cajun food, one of my absolute favorite cuisines. Just
somebody who weighed in on emails Cajun too at food. One point wanted to let us know that Cajun. I don't know. Somebody had some hot talk.
Man. I absolutely love Cajun food. So
you
anyway,
make a big old bucket of.
Yeah.
Cajun red beans and rice
yeah.
for yourself.
I've had red beans and rice on my mind lately. Been mm-hmm. thinking a lot about it. And hadn't
red
made it.
Beans and rice on my mind.
I do. I get that way with certain foods. It's, you know, it's, I don't
like
know.
A country song by Fat Pickens. I'm going to say that again. Fat Pickens.
Oh, man.
Fat Gravins. I think Fat Gravins.
Fat Gravins is good.
It's a nice parody of Slim Pickens.
Oh, man. That's funny. But you know how some people be like, in reference to friends or family or people, like, oh, you've just been on my mind lately, you know? And I do that with food.
Yeah.
And just red beans and rice have been on my mind. It has nothing to do with Thanksgiving, I'll admit. But I was like, I'm not going to fix a full Thanksgiving meal just for me, even though I'm not.
Really? You wouldn't? You really wouldn't? You're going to look at me and say you wouldn't do that?
Although I have done that in the past. But I was like, no, I'll just use this opportunity as a day to just cook. You know, it's
good.
Thanksgiving is kind of the Super Bowl for cooking.
Yeah.
And even though I was alone, it's like, all right, I'm not going to go out to Denny's or something.
And you got 3 days to mess with leftovers.
Yeah.
If it is a traditional meal and you can all of a sudden start getting into that.
Oh, the leftovers. I did what I've done for us in the past with some of that gumbo like we had last time when we went camping.
That gumbo was good.
The next day, I'll basically serve the same thing, rice and beans or rice and gumbo, but then just put an egg on top. And now it's breakfast.
I agreed with that. That
man,
was good.
It's good stuff. But yeah. I don't know, maybe later in this episode or in the future, I'll go into great detail about the red beans and rice recipe, but we just got so much to get to today.
Yeah.
But it was a good Thanksgiving.
I'll say, you know what I did just get? I just got back from my first ever hunting trip.
That's right.
I went and I shot birds.
Yes. Can we talk about that? What for?
This was for, well, it was a TV presentation.
Uh-huh.
And I was out with some top chefs, Kevin Gillespie and Brian Voltaggio.
Yeah, Kevin from Atlanta.
Kevin from Atlanta. Restaurant Gun Show.
Yeah, he's got Gun Show. He's got one called Woodfire Grill.
Yeah, I think he was the chef. I'm not sure the history. He said he just was like partner with one in Denver. And Brian has stuff in the Maryland, D.C. area. Uh-huh. I can't remember names. But
Gun Show is supposed to be awesome. Haven't been there yet. It's fairly new. It's kind of dim sum style. Like they roll out a cart.
Oh, and use
apparently.
And
yeah, and then they make a lot of it right there in front of you.
I love that dim sum. I like it when it's made table side. Even guacamole. I know it's simple, but I'm like I can make guacamole. But look at them go.
Yeah.
Look at,
well, that's cool. How'd that go?
Those dudes are hunters already. But so I've been going through. Like I was making jokes in the last special and stuff too. Like I wonder if I could eat food. Like maybe I shouldn't eat meat so comfortably if I can't ever kill it myself.
Yeah.
Like going to the store and just seeing it there, you just see it as food. You don't see the beginning. Everybody knows that chickens and pigs and cows are real out there.
Mm-hmm.
But how real do you know? Like what's your experience with going from that living animal to the end result? So I've been curious about that myself, just in my personal life, then the opportunity to work on the show with these guys came up. And it was wild, man. Like, I shot my first bird.
Okay, so y'all were specifically just birds you were hunting?
Yeah, pheasant and quail.
Okay.
And chucker was a type of bird.
Huh.
They call it wing shooting.
Okay.
Which I think is a bit too broad.
Yeah.
There's things that aren't birds that have wings that you shouldn't point guns at, like planes and kites.
What kind of gun did you use?
I had a 20-gauge
shotgun.
And this place, it was like a fancy.
With birdshot, obviously.
Yeah. And so the first, like, you still, like, the dogs go out and they chase it out. It was Milo. It was kind of like low, dense cornfield type stuff.
Okay.
You're walking through. And the dog, you get a pointer dog, would point it out, and then a flushing dog would run in and scare it out, and then would fly up in the air, and you'd shoot it. And the first time, it was like, you shoot it, and you see the feathers go out, and it just falls on the ground, and you're like, well, it still feels like you didn't kill anything. It still,
yeah.
Because it still feel like you're just doing a sport. You're sporting.
Yeah. Well, it's the same technique as
skeet shooting.
Yeah, because
you start with clay shooting, but the only thing is, like, clay shooting, you know, like, you say pull, and then it's coming, and you already have the gun up. This is, you're just walking with the gun, holding it. Not at the ready. And
yeah.
Then, oh, there's a bird. Quick.
How many did you kill?
I think I got about 5. But then the dog will bring it back, and it's still twitching. And you see it, and you're like, oh, that's – I did that. That bird was having a perfectly fine time until I showed up.
Mm.
And so that was a little bit much to deal with.
What about the cleaning process?
That was even more so, like the plucking of them.
Walk us through that.
Where you – oof. Have you hunted before?
Not birds. I've shot deer and squirrel, but not birds.
Oh, you've shot a deer before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's even more – that's one shot you have to get rid of. At least shotgun, you can kind of spray and pray.
Yeah. But
the plucking the bird, it feels disrespectful.
Like,
I already shot it, and now I'm taking its clothes.
So what's the procedure? You literally just start plucking?
No, they just collect them. And then we plucked them the next day.
Okay.
And we just had a bag of birds, and you're just pulling all the feathers out. But that it's weird that part feels disrespectful, but that's where you see it turning into food.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of a sudden you see what a chicken or a small, like, game hen or whatever they call it. What are the little ones?
Cornish hen.
Cornish hen. Like, when you see them in a store with the skin on, that's when it started to look like that.
Yeah.
And I did feel all right, like, all right, I'm going to eat this.
Uh-huh.
Like, I shot it, I'm going to eat it. I don't have respect for trophy hunters.
No.
I don't.
I never understood that.
Like, that, I can't. Like, that's just, like, just hire one woman to tell you your dick's big enough. Just, is that all you need? Because there was some of those dudes at this ranch, man. Mm. There was some. Like, it was, like, just rich dudes, rich white dudes. But there was one guy who was a straight-up fucking villain. Like, you could tell this guy wants to hunt the most dangerous game.
Hmm.
Like, you could tell this guy has enough money and wants to know. Like,
wow.
This guy only, like, his only thing in life, like, his only pursuits were to, like, fuck, shoot, or buy things.
Huh.
Like, you could tell. He just talked about – he could not keep his mouth shut about all his money. I'm like, man, you got bullied when you were little.
Yeah.
Holy shit, did you get picked on, because you are a twat.
Yeah.
You're probably the richest person I've ever met. But what a fuck. Like, what a soulless fuck. Like, I know money can buy happiness. I don't believe in that statement. And you know why I know that? Because I've been poor.
Yeah.
We've been poor. I think you're poor now, Dave. I'm sorry.
I am, but I'm happy.
But the idea that, like, he only just needs to conquer and then brag about conquering.
Yeah.
Like, clearly he's not doing things to enrich himself. It's just
anybody who talks about money openly. Yeah. Ugh.
And just made it in business. Like, you didn't make it from anything creative or making the world better. You're
just
a businessman that he's saying, like, there's no such thing as small risks in business, which I'm sure to other millionaires sounds like, well, this guy's a real player. Like, yeah, man, all I hear is like, oh, you've taken some gambles that have resulted in mass unemployment with some of your companies.
Mm-hmm.
Or you've moved companies to China. Like, that's all I've heard. Like, oh, your big risks mean people got laid off somewhere, and you didn't care.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a dude I'd want to hang out with.
No, he was but the rest of them, like, yeah, you're a bunch of old, rich, white dudes. You should be smiling and laughing all the time. Some of them were still fun. Like,
yeah.
dudes. Like, yeah, all right. Anyway.
Well, that's cool, man.
Plucked the birds. Those guys cooked them. They cooked the shit out of them.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't pull the guts out or anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was plucking them and helping a little bit in the kitchen, but I didn't want to get in their way. But they made it like they used all the innards and stuff to make a bolognese sauce.
Okay.
Like a meaty bolognese sauce. They made they pan fried some of the breast, the pheasant breast. They pounded them. I guess that's tougher because it's a bird that flies a lot.
Uh-huh.
So the breast, so they pounded them. Brian pounded them out and then pan fried them like fricasseed.
Uh-huh.
They took the legs, the chucker legs, which is like just dark meat on these, because those are the birds that run a lot, so
uh-huh.
that's a tougher meat, and just braised them in like dark beer and all this other kind of stuff.
Ooh.
It was so, ooh, it was good.
And all this was cooked outdoors?
No, they had a kitchen.
Oh, okay, they brought, okay.
Hunting lodge that just looked like a Bass Pro Shop in
wow.
the middle of nowhere, like this log cabin,
oh,
this beautiful log cabin.
And this was in Oregon?
Yeah, Central Oregon.
Wow.
But it was weird, so I shot, yeah, I mean,
that's
it's
great.
Weird shooting a thing.
Yeah,
like
it
I,
is.
I had to say a little nature prayer afterwards, mm-hmm. a little thanks.
It is,
appreciation.
But you can't be averse to it if you eat meat.
It's hypocritical to, yeah, frown on someone who's hunting and using everything.
Yeah.
Even Kevin was saying, one of the guys in his kitchen, or no, Brian was saying, one of the guys in his kitchen also does tanning. So now he's even getting the pelts of the things if he hunts a deer.
Oh, okay.
Get the pelts tanned and use that too.
So. Interesting. Well, that's good.
So yeah,
but they're using it all.
But that was my experience this week. I shot stuff and I ate it.
Well, good for you. That is an experience. That's something that I mean, not to be redundant, but every meat eater should mm-hmm. experience that at least once in their life.
I'm also glad professionals cooked it. I would feel real bad if I shot it and then just. Like microwave, like that's like all these hunters. Like, well, you know, I just want to honor the animal and respect it. I'm like, I think the first level of respecting something is not shooting at it.
Yeah,
that I mean, as far as the base level of respect,
yeah,
and honor, like I'm honoring it. Well, no,
yeah,
that's not. You're being thankful that it's there at the end of your gun and then eating it, but let's not say honor.
Speaking of animals.
Honor would be like, oh, it's still alive out there. You know you know what else you could do? Take a picture of it.
Yeah.
That would honor it. Hey, guys, look at this cool tiger that's still alive. Here's a picture of it. It's still out there doing its thing. But also, like you feel the food chain because the guy that we're with, like here's one of the birds you just shot, but this one was attacked by a hawk.
Yeah.
We're picking up just one that's mangled on the ground. This one got shot by a coyote. So I was like, if you see coyotes, shoot them. Just shoot the shit out of them because they're killing all our birds. Like, I kind of think they deserve a fair shot.
Speaking of hawks, do you see that viral video going around this week of
what?
The hawk who got a hold of a cat?
Oh, no.
I'll stop there.
I don't need to see that.
Yeah, it's real bummer.
Especially. Man, circle of life, buddy.
Yeah.
A circle of life this
yeah,
week.
Man. I had a good week. Went to a concert last week.
Who'd you see?
Probably one of my top two or three artists, Sturgill Simpson.
Oh, you saw Sturgill.
Who I've spoke of on this podcast before. I was lucky enough to just get free tickets.
Yeah.
I thought that's what it was going to be. Just got on the comp list due to our good buddy Billy Wayne Davis.
Billy Wayne.
Who opened for Sturgill on a whole tour last year.
Billy and, Wayne has a new album out now, correct?
December 16th.
December 16th,
yes,
all right.
Coming out next week.
All right.
But anyway, got to hang out with Sturgill on his tour bus.
No shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And
what kind of fella is Sturgill Simpson?
Nice dude.
Yeah.
Real quiet, kind of reserved, you know, kind of a quiet dude, but you can tell, solid dude. Not to brag, but I've hung out backstage before, about a year ago, went to a couple shows when they were in Atlanta, just happened to be passing through, finishing a tour when they were in Atlanta. So, got to hang out backstage then, but this time spent a lot of time on the bus just hanging out and watched the show from the side of the stage. And my God, just his band, they are just badass.
Where was this at?
This was at the Wiltern here in Los Angeles.
Like the Wiltern.
Yeah, yeah, I like that venue. And oh my God, if anybody is familiar with Sturgill, his first couple albums, his first album, very country, very kind of classic throwback honky-tonk / bluegrass. He put out that second album 2 years ago. It kind of had more of a psychedelic feel to it.
Yeah.
Even though that's interesting, just on paper, psychedelic country is an interesting.
Shooter Jennings kind of going down that path, too.
Yeah, and now his most recent album came out earlier this year.
Polka, just polka.
just all polka.
Really interesting.
a lot more soul and R&B. In that most recent album had a horn section who was the Dap Kings of Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings.
Oh yeah,
who just passed, by the way. Yeah, R.I.P. Big fan. But those guys played on the album. They're not a part of the touring band, but he does now have a three piece brass section: trombone, a trumpet, and a saxophone. And
live horns.
Oh man, and just all those songs from the first two albums. That didn't have any of that on the album. Mm-hmm. He's redone them.
Put a section in it.
Yeah, he's put all the horns in those older songs. And, geez. And then, like, sometimes there was a few of those songs just, I mean, it almost sounded like Clutch. Just, like, thick.
Yeah.
Just rock and roll.
Wall of sound.
Just wall of sound. Just a freight train full of beef stew. Just badass.
Yeah. Already envisioning that metaphor you use.
And,
Sturgill Simpson. That band is like a freight train full of beef stew.
It was.
Which sounds like an intestinal metaphor. We got to pull over. I got a real freight train full of beef stew right now, guys.
obviously I was already a fan, but seeing this, the most recent show with the horns and the keyboards, and it's got a new bass player. Just badass.
I wonder if it's like, for as much ska music I listened to when I was a young lad, you know, you go through a phase. I still put some of it on. There's still some good ska, but like live horns, man. Like there's certain sounds or instruments that sonically resonate with, like emotionally resonate.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if it's a heritage type thing, like real sad fiddle.
Yeah.
Like real sad, like a slow song, but then a fiddle solo come in. You're like, ooh, that's all right. That's pushing me over the edge.
That's why I love all the alt country stuff. Fiddle, the pedal steel. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, pedal love steel falls in the same kind of like sad string instruments. Mm-hmm. Or
throw in a banjo every now and then.
I'm going to say squeeze box or accordion can hit the right spot.
Yeah, Margo Price's band, who I saw and talked about a few weeks ago, they had an accordion player. It was amazing.
Accordion doesn't sound. And, I mean, bagpipes.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's like a punchline, but like maybe it's that the Irish part of me, but I hear bagpipes and I'm like, whoop.
Oh, yeah.
Get a little. I don't even know what I'm getting nostalgic for.
Yeah.
I have like I've never celebrated my heritage, but I hear bagpipes look cool.
It's deep. It's in your blood.
Let's stand up. Take your hat off.
Yeah, some of those instruments really scratch that itch, man. And cannot recommend Sturgill enough.
I made
this observation when I was watching it. He's more country than all the country bands.
Yeah.
And he's more rock and roll than most of the rock bands. Like, he just has this – and he's more soul and R&B than people are doing that. He just has this ability to, like, to change directions and go towards a certain sound and just all right, this one, we're just going to rock your dick off.
Yeah.
You're like, and this one, here's some horns.
This is a quality just a good musician.
Yeah, this one here,
artist.
Here's a
– he's an artist.
Yeah, here's a Hank Williams-style, old honky-tonk ballad. Like, just amazing.
I was listening to some of Sturgill, I think in Singer's Car, and, like, have that one album. I got to listen to more of it.
Yeah.
I know it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody raves about it. I gotta pay more attention to
really
it.
Good. Just had a good time. Oh, the spread backstage at a show of that size. I get impressed when I go
Sturgill-y.
When I go to see you, like when I open for you occasionally, just the fact that you
trail mix and free bananas blew you away.
Well, you come from a guy who's paid for Diet Cokes on shows he's headlined. Seriously, never tell you that story. Years ago, I was headlining shit club. I walk in, my poster's on the wall, my picture's on the wall. I come in, I go, "Hey, I'm Dave. I'm performing this weekend. All right, can I get you something?" "Yeah, I'll just take a Diet Coke." She comes back, "That's $2.50. I was like, "You charge the comedians for soda?" "I guess so."
Was it a club or a bar?
It was a club. It was a comedy club that has comedy all the time. Charged the headliner for a soda. By the way, let me get this out of. Let me get this. All right, this has been on my mind.
Here we go.
All right,
old Dave getting riled.
A lot of people.
Dave getting riled.
So appreciative of some of the. I still am hesitant to use this word fans, but some of the newer So listeners of the podcast who are just now becoming familiar with me and my stand-up, so appreciative of that. And a lot of people reaching out, you know, hey, come to this, come play my city, come to this city, come to this city. If you're wondering why I don't come to your city, it's probably because your piece of shit comedy club won't return my email. Or they will return it and say I don't have enough TV credits. Got an email the other day saying you're really funny, but you're in the, quote, just funny bracket, meaning you don't have enough credits, you're not enough a draw. And that's just not enough
right
now.
What city was this in?
I don't know. I'll say the Bay Area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Even though – just say that, lady. This is what I wanted to say to the booker. Just say – and I responded, yes, more credits or the leverage of a giant agent. Because they've got people headlining these clubs who, if you want to play that game, if you want to get technical, have less credits than me.
Is it south of the Bay Area?
Yes. Yeah.
Was it okay. All right. All right. Yeah. I was trying to think of like an aviary thing.
Just say that. Just say, hey, you know, you're real funny, but our calendar is filled with people whose agents are pressuring me to book them. Because they got the headliners. They got less credits than me.
They're a perfectly – that's a perfectly nice club.
She was nice about it, but it's like, don't – just be honest. Just say – because it's like, lady, I'm looking at your website right now.
Yeah.
I see who you're booking.
I get it.
But it is just frustrating when people are like, hey, come to my – I would love to come to your city.
Well,
tell the comedy club to return my damn email.
Tell everybody listening to, hey, we want to see Dave Stone at our club.
Well, that's why I do all these DIY tours.
Everybody at South – of the Bay Area in a more technical area.
Oh, and that's not the only one. There's dozens of clubs who've given me the same. All I ever heard coming up, you're real funny. Get a few credits and we'll start headlining you. Yeah. Well, I got some credits now, and then they're like, well, you need more credits. No, I need an agent who can leverage his bigger clients for my benefit.
It also doesn't help that everybody's a comedian now. Mm-hmm.
But that's why I do these bar shows and these rock shows, just because I don't have an agent. I don't have a manager anymore. I am venting, but I'm not bitter about it. My point is, all these tours, all these shows I do, 100% DIY. I got nobody representing me, no one making phone calls on my behalf. If you don't know why I'm not playing your city, it's because I, you know.
Well, when, next time email, if you got a local bar that you like a lot that you think folks wouldn't mind paying a few bucks to see old Dave Stone, he'll come through.
I'm sorry, I don't mean for that to sound sour grapes. It's just,
I get
so
it, man.
Many of that just
I,
of those
I opted out of that system from the get-go.
Good for you.
That was just – I knew I wasn't going to get into comedy clubs. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm just not going to work the road until – like that's why I moved here. I'm like, no, I'm going to put the time in here and then wait for them to call me.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, I put my time in here. I got my credits. Now, all right, now I got my leverage.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's no right way to do it.
Yeah.
And anyway, all right, so a lot of people – I've been on the road a bunch, and I know there's a lot of emails and Facebook messages and people saying nice stuff. How about a big thanks to Paranoia Magazine?
Yes.
Who just hooked us up with shirts and a stack of books, a stack of material. Paranoia Magazine, if you want to follow them – they're on Twitter at I had it up on the computer, and there it is, Paranoia Mag, PARANOIAMAG. That's their Twitter handle, and they sent us a lot of like great materials and conspiracies and everything.
Yeah, those books, are like graphic novels.
Yeah, so thanks to them for that, and check them out. Thanks to the guy in New York who handed me a weird UFO zine from the Southwest. Which is like, here, man, I think you might like this. And just gave it to me. He's like, all right, later. I was like, wow, thanks.
And quick shout out to listener Mike Gavern. We've never met, but he's been reaching out on Twitter and email. Seems like a good dude. Just arbitrarily, for no reason whatsoever, mailed us 3 or 4 books.
Yeah.
And they all came one at a time. I guess he had to mail them. Every second or third day last week, I'm getting a new book from Mike Gavern. So big thanks to Mike. He sent the Choose Your Own Adventure, the book I was talking about that started it all.
The Bigfoot one?
The Bigfoot one.
Oh, that's one? Okay.
Yeah, he sent that. He sent one about skinwalkers, which is a topic we'll get into in a few weeks. And then another one.
Skinwalkers just sounds like
Sounds creepy.
It sounds like fetish porn. Like, I can't. Like, Skid.
Oh, no. We got to dig deep into that topic.
Skinwalker sounds like a massage parlor where you're disappointed.
Yeah.
Which, whatever type of massage you're hoping for. This isn't therapeutic. You're just dancing on my back. Man, there ain't no hand job coming. You're just dancing on my back. Oh, you ever have a woman walk on your back?
No, but only because I'm incredibly ticklish, but ooh. I so badly want a heavyset Russian woman with thick forearms to just beat the shit out of me.
Ooh, all right. Yeah, well, that's a request out in the world from Dave Stone.
I want a mannish massage.
Okay, but you could just have a man.
Yeah, I know, but I would feel better if it's just a thick woman.
Rachel got a massage that was just some like Russian oaf dude in West Hollywood that beat the shit out of her, so it was real good.
I love that kind of pain. Does that all right? Yeah. I did this morning, as a matter of fact. I got a little bit of maybe a rash or a athlete's foot on my foot.
Okay, keep touching everything on the top of my foot. Right.
And you know what I love to do? And I used to do this years ago when I worked landscaping. I would always get poison ivy and stuff on my forearms.
Oh yeah, I know.
So what I do is I take a really hot shower, and right before I get in, I scratch it. I just scratch and irritate, and then I turn that water as hot as I can take it, and I stick my forearm under the hot shower. And I did that today with my foot, just as hot as I can friggin' take it.
What are you trying to prove?
It feels good. Like it's we've talked about this before. I love a rug burn, the old twist my wrist.
Well, this
thing.
Okay. The photos you had put up, were from the time that you were like, I don't feel pain. Mm-hmm. Have you ever?
Oh, the hotel.
Yeah, from well, that's because I gave you an Indian burn that you didn't care about, and then Ryan kicked you in the nuts real hard, and that apparently. Have you like? Is it like a fetish level type thing? Like, have you ever like non-sexual dominatrix? Like, you could be like, you can keep your clothes on, just hit me a bunch. Like, have you? I mean, is that? Something that might be in your life?
It has not been a part of my life yet, but I'm not opposed to that because of some of these things. It's not sexual in nature, but it's not far off when I stick my arm under the hot water and irritate the poison oak.
I mean,
it's in that realm.
I understand like the pain of a tattoo where at some point, because you're subjecting yourself to it, you can almost get in this transcendental state of, you know, like you're just going through it and it's voluntary. Mm-hmm. Maybe you gotta get out there and try. Yeah. I'm going to get you.
Is that the S or the M? What is
sadomasochistic.
But which one am I if I like the pain? I don't want to hurt nobody.
Masochist, I think, is you want to hurt somebody.
Okay.
So I got the computer. I'm an S. Sadomasochist. I think does sado mean.
Yeah, but any strong women out there want to get together and slap me around a little bit?
Sadism. Giving a receipt. Yeah, what is this shit? You're asking me to donate to Wikipedia. I think the sadist is you want it. Coming back on you.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm learning about my body, Kyle.
Maybe that's... I mean, I'll get you a gift certificate. And we'll just see if it's something... Listen, if 2016 and how much untimely exits people are making...
Mm-hmm.
I need three people this weekend.
Yeah, who all people we lose... I can't keep up anymore.
No, just people I like.
Oh, people
like
know.
Some unfortunate situation. Oh. Yeah, it was
Oh, well, that's.
I won't go that down. One of them, like, it was a guy I used to live with out here, who was a maniac, and he was. I think it was a heart trouble. He was a partying dude, but had some of like. I'm trying to compile this list of Los Angeles stories that I might just do one stand up show, just of Los Angeles stories. And this dude was. Do you just smell your own belch?
No.
You walked into it like it was like somebody sprayed cologne at the mall at you. You belched and then dipped your head at it.
Nah, I didn't do that.
Fucking scratching your goddamn poison skin around here and smelling your own belches. You should get whipped. Maybe they'll whip some sense into you.
Anyway, your LA stories.
Oh, yeah. This I live with him. He was nuts. I lived in Highland Park before it was, like, it was still rough. Like, I got directed around a gang fight once.
Really?
Like, they were having a street fight. It was like, I was coming home from work. It's like 5:30 in the afternoon. And there was some guy like, nah, make a left. Like, we're using the street. And there's two dudes about to brawl.
Wow.
Like, okay. Nope. No problem.
Yeah.
And, but this dude, there's one moment. I don't want to get, like, I don't know how much. Well, he changed his name to legally just one name, Luz, Spanish for light. And he would sit there looking through his mails and it'd be like, Mr. Luz, Mr. Luce, Mr. like Liz. Like, I couldn't believe it was just a guy with one name. He's like, ugh, Kyle, don't ever change your name. It's nothing but a pain in the ass. Like, all right, man. And he.
A female comic just did that.
Really?
Yeah.
Who?
Eliza. She just goes by it. I don't think she legally changed it, but now she's just Eliza.
Ugh.
I figured you'd like that.
No comment. Fucking no comment. That's my comment. Fucking no comment.
I'm not going to hold your dog.
The best thing, right after I moved in with Luz, we're at a video store and we're like picking out movies. And like, I saw the movie Thrashin'.
Yeah.
The skate movie. He's like, oh man, hey man, you ever see this movie Thrashing and Lose? Like, short little Latino dude from Chicago, and had like vampire neck bites tattooed on his neck.
Oh wow.
He just made it. He goes, seen it, man, I'm in it. Like, it was like it was like living with like Mexican David Lee Roth.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
I rent it, and we get to this party scene where Red Hot Chili Peppers are playing and all the skateboarders are hanging out. And he's in the back with some weird moose tie top hair. And like, that's him. And he's like, yeah, I was working crew on that movie. Because he was a set painter. He's like, I was working crew on that movie, man. And when we were making it, they just had me in the party scene. But we were making it, I banged the stagehand named Taco in the bathroom. And when I came out, the whole crew applauded me. And I was like, God, come on. I'm like, but that's one of those things where somebody will give you so much, like, you think everything's bullshit out of somebody's mouth, and then you see one moment of truth, and like, oh, now I have to believe all his stories.
That's funny.
But just that moment, like, seen it, I'm in it, man.
Oh my God, that's funny.
I banged a stagehand named Taco.
Oh, God, that's funny.
So, R.I.P. Luz.
Hey, apropos of nothing, real quick.
I will say this.
You got to finish.
Just a man whose name was Spanish for light and was an incredible Morrissey fan.
Oh,
he is a light that will never go out.
And he's that's a bummer, man.
I will say that in memoriam of Luz.
Well, sorry to hear that. Who's your buddy that you referenced a couple
who's
episodes ago?
Who's your buddy?
Who's in Green Room? I watched Green Room the other day.
Oh, Eric Edelstein.
Which one was
he? He was the big skinhead who was like in the room with him at first. Like, they locked. He was the one like guarding him in the green room after they got locked in.
Like, big?
Yeah, yeah. Tall.
Who they capture him?
Yeah.
Oh, your buddy. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was good.
He was great. Scary in that movie.
Yeah.
But in real life, oh, you just want to hug the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched that. Everybody raved about it. I'm not saying I didn't like it, but just relentless. Just, jeez.
Yeah.
Take a break.
No way, man.
Good Lord.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, that was intense. All right.
What did we – all right. We talked about – was your red beans and rice speech on the thing – on the intro that I fucked up?
I don't know.
Yeah.
We got to get to the meat of this. We got a good one today.
We do.
Got a good one.
Current topical.
Current topical, and let me go ahead and preface this. It's a little heavy.
All right.
The subject matter we're about to get into, it's not light and fluffy and fun, but it's topical and it's incredibly intriguing. Pizzagate. So if anybody...
Not the term you would think was coming up. This is good, guys. This is about to get serious.
No, but seriously...
Pizzagate.
We're going to talk about pedophilia for a little bit. So if anybody...
All right.
You know... That's never a fun thing to talk about, but this is topical. It's going on in the news right now, and I thought we'd get into it.
And I knew nothing about it. I'm like, all right, since we last recorded 3 weeks on a row, I kind of purposely avoiding the news. It's just bringing me down. But I didn't even hear about what this is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to give – and If there's any extra creaking, that's the Santa Ana winds about to blow my apartment away.
It's so windy this
week. It's crazy out right now. So if you hear some creaking and clanging. But like, give me – like, I've read about it, but you were following it a little more in tune.
Yeah.
Give me give me and the listeners a rundown, and I'm gonna close this sadomasochism window on my computer.
Did you pull up those resources I was talking about?
I have.
Okay, we'll get to them in a minute.
Some of the stuff.
Have those handy in case we need to refer to them. Okay. Yeah. Now, I don't watch a lot of mainstream news, so I honestly do not know how much this is being covered in the quote-unquote mainstream media. I get a lot of my stuff just online and a lot of vlogs, a lot of YouTube vlogs, and a lot of conspiracy type stuff. But anyway, So I'd kind of in my peripheral noticed the term Pizzagate being tossed around for about a week or two. And I guess this all kind of broke early November, right around the time of the election, I guess. And it's so complex. If you know what I'm talking about, then you can kind of follow along, you know, you'll understand. But if you have no idea what Pizzagate is, I mean, there's so many layers and so many levels to it that it's hard to kind of concisely explain it, but I'll do my best. All right. And again, I don't pretend to be an expert on this. Obviously, it's topical. There's new info being revealed every day. But the Reader's Digest version, those WikiLeaks emails that we talked about a few episodes ago about John Podesta and the disclosure and the guy
from Blink 182.
Yeah. So in that same batch, that I'm assuming that was all just one big release of those WikiLeaks emails. Somebody brought it to some journalist or investigative reporter's attention. They said, and I don't know who's responsible, but along the way, somebody told somebody, "Hey, comb through those emails and be on the lookout for this certain batch of code words." And code words like hot dog, like pizza, cheese, ice cream, stuff like that. These are code words that somebody said, "Hey, go back and comb through these and look for these code words." Now, these code words that I just mentioned apparently are commonly used code words in the pedophilia underground. People who, unfortunately and disgustingly, engage in pedophilia and run in those circles, you know, you can't just be talking in public about kid touching, and you can't be talking on the phone and sending emails with someone. So they a lot of it's coded. So,
all right.
And there's a lot of these emails that are to and from Podesta, John Podesta, that have some of these code words, and I'm just paraphrasing. You're looking for them right now, but just off the top of my head, you know, stuff like, "Hey, tonight, should I have a hot dog or should I have some pizza?" You know, and "How old is the hot dog?" and stuff like that. So there's a lot of these weird, vague.
What good is the code word if you say "How old is the hot dog"?
Well, I just pulled that out of my ass, but it's along that line. Where just a lot of these code words are being used.
What color hair does the pizza have?
Is the pizza's mom going to be there?
Oh, God.
But this is terrible.
Oh, I don't want to make fun, but it's the only way I know how to deal with things. What? Like, I don't want to look up pedophilia.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I was thinking about that the other day when I was doing some research. Like, you got to be careful what you Google.
As kind of
to cover my ass, anything I did some research on, I just typed in Pizzagate first. So, because, I mean, shoot, there's so many stories of that. Who's the guy from The Who? Townsend? Townsend?
Who got it? Entwistle?
One of those guys got in some trouble. I don't know if it was ultimately in trouble, but he got some attention from the FBI for doing some quote-unquote research.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't want to go down that road and get a phone call from the FBI. So you got to be careful when you're researching this kind of stuff. But anyway, it all started with these WikiLeaks emails, and most of it centers around John Podesta. And then the more people look into this, just the more layers start to unfold. In Pizzagate coming, I don't know if it's referring to the code words like I just meant or the fact that kind of the ground zero for some of these alleged crimes is at a little pizza slash ping pong family fun center in Washington, D.C. called Comet Pizza. Apparently,
yeah.
It's kind of like a hipster Chuck E. Cheese where you can go and go with your family and your kids and have some pizza and birthday parties and ping pong. And apparently, there's a basement area of this Comet Pizza.
Which that's what I read. And they're like, we don't even have a basement.
Where a lot of the, and again, let me go ahead and preface this too. I know some people have already been thinking this as far as the fake news, disinformation. I don't have an angle one way or the other. I'm not saying this is legit or bogus. I'm just, you know, it's kind of what we do here on the Boogie Monster. We take some of these
we talk out our ass.
But yeah, it's. I'm just saying it's worth looking into. And now, the other angle too is a lot of the people in question are of the Democratic Party, so a lot of people think that this is fake news perpetrated by the right to kind of attack the left. So that being said, take it with a grain of salt. Do your own research. But anyway, here's some of the bullet points. Comet Pizza in Washington, D.C. It's owned by a guy. Where did my notes go? John Alefantis. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Mm-hmm. John Alefantis. He owns this place. And again, I didn't have enough time to do extensive research. He may or may not have some questionable history in this realm of abuse of children or whatnot. I'll use the word allegedly a lot in this.
Man, I'm starting to resent you making me read some of this shit.
I mean, it sucks. It sucks. All right. So John Alefantis, he owns Comet Pizza, and he was recently named by GQ magazine as the 49th most powerful man in Washington, or person in Washington, D.C. Mm. Now, how a ping pong pizza joint owner is a power player in Washington, I don't know. Okay, and here's the other thing. A lot at Comet Pizza, apparently Obama has held fundraisers there. The Clintons have held fundraisers there. Podesta has done many fundraising acts. So he's this Alefantis and this Comet Pizza. It is not speculation. It is fact that he is somehow, you know, has ties to some of these high powered Democrats.
Yeah.
Now, it could be completely business and political and innocent, but it is a known fact that he is somehow connected to the Democratic Party in Washington. Some of these big Democrats. So. George Soros is a fact, has donated $11,000 to Comet Pizza. I know who George Soros is. I don't know what his title is.
He's like a rich dude.
Yeah, he's a rich dude.
This is like a real thing. We're like really getting this because I don't.
Okay. Now,
it's a Democratic supporter.
Okay. All right, so it all stems from these emails and these code words. And, okay, here's the other little angle, too. The FBI has a list and a database of a lot of this pedophilia lingo, imagery, and symbols. And apparently there are different – this is all new to me – pedophile symbols.
That's – I got some up to – like, but
that pedophiles communicate. They communicate with one another because, again, you can't just – if you're a creepo pedophile, pervert, you can't – you got to keep that under wraps, okay? But
– Well, I realize – yeah.
So they have to communicate in code.
Yeah, we've all bought weed before.
But
– you know.
The FBI has in their database – a handful of symbols that are known to be used by pedophiles. For example, there's one that's like a triangle within a triangle.
Yeah, I'm looking at them. I got them here.
You want to give a description of some of these?
They're pretty innocuous. One looks like a backwards ampersand, which apparently is for little boys. One's like a butterfly made out of hearts. Ugh. And one's like a heart and a heart. They don't look.
No, they look innocent.
They're very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
but
they're
that's
very
kind of the
simple
point
symbols
to where someone could defend it by saying, what are you talking about? It's just a dumb little symbol. But allegedly, their usage is for the purpose to communicate and to let other pedophiles know this is a pedophile-friendly zone. And, for example, Comet Pizza, I don't believe, had any of these symbols on their logo, although they do have alleged satanic symbols. And that's another...
Let's get into that. Satanism.
That's another subtext here is how that this is somehow tied in with Satanism. There's another pizza joint literally two doors down called Besta Pizza, and they do have in their logo, or they have since taken it down, but they do have the little triangle within a triangle logo on their slice of pizza inside their logo. They've changed that.
Because it looks like a piece of pizza. Mm-hmm. Okay, but all right. All right. Just... If you're going to be like, all right, listen, we're a pizza place that we're into kids for fucking, you would maybe not want the symbol for kid fucking to be part of your pizza logo.
Well, I think.
Like, what do you really want to be like? Hey, are you hungry and want to fuck a kid? I mean, you could try and do both in two different places, or you can come over to our pizza place and kill two birds with one stone.
I think the point is nobody other than pedophiles would know what those symbols mean.
It's just a bunch of other people going, this pizza is terrible. How is this place so popular?
Well,
I am sorry for that joke and every joke to follow. I'm just trying to get through this topic, which I think might be a two-parter.
Dude, it goes – again, I'm not saying how much or any of this is legit – but it goes deep. All right.
Like, I'm seeing the symbols. Okay, yeah. It's like a triangle and a triangle. Yeah, and that's the logo of Best of Best. Also.
Okay, on this little block where Besta Pizza and Comet Pizza are at, there's three or four businesses right on this little strip that are all somehow allegedly connected and affiliated with one another, and they're all all these businesses have ties to high powered Democrats. For example, Besta Pizza, the other place we're talking about that did have the thing, it is owned by a guy named Andrew Klein. He's a part of the Department of Justice's human trafficking unit.
Nav says he's an attorney for the human trafficking prosecution unit of the Department of Justice, appointed by Bill Clinton.
Yeah,
which. If you want to bring this back around, which we haven't talked about, but something before, the Franklin Child Prostitution Ring.
Yes.
Which that is from, looking at that right now, that was
Omaha?
88 to 91. That was Omaha, where there was this whole thing about, which I guess maybe that might be the continued exploration of this topic of the government kidnapping like runaway boys and everything for use. How depraved, like, is this... Or do we just have to believe that politicians are these depraved? Or is it just because people are sick generally? Politicians, like how they say CEOs are all sociopaths.
Mm-hmm.
And politicians, I have to think, I think if you want to really make ranks in the political world, I don't think that's coming from, I want to make the world a better place. I think that's ego and sociopathy.
True. My question is, what are the odds? This is me saying that some of this might be bogus. What are the odds that this many people share the same disgusting, perverted hobby? Like,
yeah. I would say sickness. I would say sickness instead of hobby.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, despicable behavior.
I mean, what are the... I don't know. I am not a pedophile. Of course, that sounds like something a pedophile would say.
Good thing you said that on tape.
No, but you would like to think and assume that the very small percentage of our population is into this. You would like to think that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what
that's the case.
I don't know what that percentage is. I would hope it's very, very small. So what are the odds in the same town – in the same industry, that there's a handful of people that are into this?
Well,
like, how did they find
the
each
industry
other?
Industry is power hunger.
Well, yeah.
And controlling.
And I get that.
Pedophilia
but
as a sickness.
That's still a stretch to to branch off into pedophilia just because someone's an egomaniac and a power.
I don't think so. I think.
Really?
I think, well, okay, we're, you know, still talking out our asses on this. You get people that just are power hungry and have money and just want to dominate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, acts as sexual assault and rape. And so these are acts of dominance.
Yeah.
And conquering.
Yeah. And like with rape and a lot of these sex crimes, mm-hmm. Experts say a lot of it has very little to do with actual sex.
And it's a controlling thing. Politicians want to control stuff. That's what politicians do. They control. Also the fact that isn't there something that goes along with pedophilia that it's, you know, also like it's something about wanting to be. This is just shit I learned from like Law and Order SVU. But wanting to go back to your own childhood, it's like still in a sick way connecting with your own childhood. Like, well, what makes a sociopath is it's a traumatic experience when you're younger that you become a fucking lunatic, that mm-hmm. you're picked on and all this stuff, and you want to go back and show youth who was really boss. This, ooh, oh, fuck, man.
Dude, it goes.
I didn't even know about all this stuff. Okay. And, oh, all right.
All right, let me branch off into this real quick. This is interesting, too. Okay, speaking of, all right, Podesta. Podesta has a brother, Tony Podesta. Now, Google Tony Podesta art collection.
Oh, man. See, you're just making me do this on my computer. I'm going to make you bring your own damn – you don't have a computer.
I don't have a computer. I have a podcast, but not a computer.
Your computer got stolen.
Yeah.
Tony Podesta art. Can I just say how much they are dragging the good name of pizza through the mud with this? Like what – like Pizzagate sounds like it should be silly. Like Papa John stole a recipe from Pizza Hut. But this is awful.
Okay.
Like, it's not the worst thing about this. Obviously, it's the kid fucking. But also...
Well, not just the pedophilia angle. This is also connected to human trafficking and child trafficking.
Oh, and, yeah. Why not?
And think about this. If you're in the business of kid touching and kid trafficking, what better place to kind of scout new talent than a family-friendly kid pizza ping pong joint? Think of all the kids that are coming through there on a weekly basis. So, you know,
think they're just plucking them out of the pizza place?
I don't think they're necessarily doing that, but I don't
know. How big is this pizza?
Okay, let's talk about Tony Podesta. All right, that's John Podesta's brother. He's got a real odd art collection. Have you found any of these images yet?
Well, I'm looking for them.
He's a fan of this. God, I had it written down somewhere. There's a particular artist. Anyway, he's a fan of this guy's art, and he has bought several of his paintings. And they're all depictions of kids being tied up and in their underwear. Like, that's – okay, I know art is objective, but Jesus – I don't know how you could defend that type of art.
Well, see, now you got me going to like InfoWars. So now I'm like, man.
Well, exactly. And that's why that's immediately, you know, some people, some progressives or leftists would immediately call bullshit because InfoWars and Alex Jones, a lot of these, you know, right-leaning or libertarian-leaning. I don't know. What does he fall under, Alex Jones? Anyway, some of these type of folks are kind of leading the charge with some of this investigation. So, yeah, take that with a grain of salt. But some of this stuff is not objective. Like, what's Tony Podesta doing with these art, with these pictures? I mean, there's some creepy stuff. There's one with a little boy whose arms are tied up and he's hanging.
Yeah.
And there's another one with like seven or eight little girls all lined up in their underwear. These are all paintings, by the way, not photographs, but still. So anyway, let me tell you this real quick about Tony Podesta and
John. I think I did read some about some.
Okay. Now, they're saying that they might be connected. All right. May 3rd, 2007, this little girl named Madeline McCann, she and her family are on vacation in Portugal. Madeline McCann. 2007, Portugal. She comes up missing, and I believe to this day she is still missing.
Okay.
So that was, 2007? That's, what, 9 years ago? Somebody gave a police composite sketch artist a description of her two captors. I guess, and again, I'm sorry, some of this, the details are fuzzy. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a police composite sketch drawing of two dudes who are somehow connected to Madeline McCann's disappearance, and they look a lot like John and Tony Podesta. You can Google that.
In Portugal?
Mm-hmm. And
what's her name?
Madeline McCann. M, little c, big C, A-N-N. It is, there's speculation that John and Tony Podesta may have been in Portugal that day. There's also another composite sketch drawing of someone who might be connected that looks just like old Anthony Weiner. They think Anthony Weiner is somehow tied up into this.
Well, that guy's already, you know, behind the eight ball as far as being a pervert.
So, that's interesting. I need to do some more research on Madeline McCann, but there's a composite sketch drawing of two dudes that are apparently somebody saw with her, around her, taking her, somehow, some involvement. And the sketches, you could argue that they do look very similar to John and Tony Podesta. So that's bizarre.
Why are they? Well, what are your government? Well, 2007, I don't know where they were at in that point in time, but you're obviously wealthy political people. What are you out there? This is a wrong thing to defend right now.
Yeah.
But okay. What are you out there doing your dirty work?
Well, let's talk about motive real quick. All right. I think some of this goes beyond just a sickness or a sexual thing. Allegedly, this pedophile and human trafficking ring is used to blackmail politicians, put them in compromising situations, and then now, all right, it's
power move.
Power move. Now you're my puppet because guess what? I know what you're into, and if you don't do exactly what I say, then guess what? I'm going to reveal.
We're doing two-parter on this.
You got to do a two-parter?
We're doing two-parter.
Okay.
I think
Mm-hmm.
This is fucked. Fuck you, Dave. There's goddamn pizza game.
Dude, there's so much fun? I haven't even gotten to.
Remember when we just talk about spaceships and shit?
I know.
What
but it's
the shit, man.
It's topical but again, I'm not saying
I got so excited when you're like, "Have you heard about Pizzagate?" I was like, "Ooh." this conspiracy sounds delicious.
Oh, man. When I thought Pizzagate had something to do with that time I stole a jar of pepperoncinis from Papa John's when I worked there 10 years ago.
But, I love a good pepperoncini.
There's so much I hadn't gotten into. Anyway, I will say.
Part two. Let's do it.
Okay. I'm not saying I'm bipartisan on this. I'm not saying it's legit. I'm not saying it's bogus. My point is, if any of this is true, this is going to be one of the biggest scandals maybe ever.
Well, but then next week let's talk about the Franklin conspiracy and bring that in, because that should have been big. And now it's just a crazy conspiracy theory.
Well, we'll talk about this next episode, but that's also one of the subtext of this whole thing too, is how the mainstream media is trying to cover, you know, for example, something happened on Twitter.
We're starting to sound like Trump supporters.
I know that. So that's why I keep prefacing, because, I mean, one of the conspiracies is that this is all coming from the right, this whole investigation.
It's like, how do you remain a conspiracy theorist? Like, I'm just checking out of all of, man, this wind is getting.
Yeah.
I blew down all the lattice work on my little porch back there. All right, you know what? We're doing, it's part two. We're coming into it.
There's a lot more
week,
to it.
Which is we're going to start talking about right away, but we have to cut this in half. Dave, this will be coming out December 6th. What do you got coming up after December 6th? You got a big old tour.
Yeah, I got a big old tour coming up. 15 cities in the Southeast. I rattled off a couple dates last week. Starting December 12th in Baton Rouge, 13th in Mobile, Alabama, 14th Savannah, 15th Columbus, South Carolina, and then 16th and 17th I'll be in my hometown, Atlanta, Georgia, at the Relapse Theater.
Anybody in the South.
Yeah. And I got a bunch more cities, too.
And a lot of people made those biscuits for Thanksgiving.
Got a lot of cool picks.
I got a cornbread recipe somebody wanted to share, too. I'll bring it up in the next thing. But December 9th, Friday, December 9th, I'm going to be at the Vogue Theater in Vancouver for a Leafly event. Leafly is a pot company.
Ah.
A pot company? I guess, yeah.
Like ceramics and stuff?
Yeah, you know, pottery. Yeah, marijuana, they got, I got an app that tells you where to buy it. That's Leafly. Anyway, it's a Vogue Theater on the 9th. I think it's a free show. So come on, Vancouver, British Columbia. Come out to a free show. It's with Nikki Glaser, too. So anyone like me, Nikki Glaser's going to be there.
Sweet lady.
And that's going to be awesome. Comic of the week this week.
Our good buddy James Fritz.
Fritzy, just, album out.
Just put out an album. I was there at the taping. Brilliant. It was great.
Yeah.
Fritz has a unique style. He's a bit of a political curmudgeon. He's very topical,
he's
very
a bit
political.
Of a he's a curmudgeon's curmudgeon, that guy.
But, oh my gosh, just so funny. New album, Still Together, came out a few weeks ago. Again, I was at the taping and recorded at Bar Lubitsch here in Los Angeles. Just an incredible hour of stand-up.
Never seen somebody so miserable bring others so much joy.
Exactly. And he's a good friend. And James is one of those guys that just – he's almost too smart for his own good. Like
he's a guy that's smart and it makes him sad.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he knows he's too aware.
Exactly.
Which is that's a curse. Yeah. Some people suffer. He does suffer that. At least he can transfer that into humor for others.
Yeah. But and one of these dudes too that just has an opinion on everything. And sometimes those guys are annoying to be around. But James is good about it.
Sometimes those guys are annoying.
No, but you know the guy who knows everything.
I sure do.
I'm not saying James is a blowhard know-it-all, but he's just a well-read dude. He's got opinions on things that I didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
We were watching a basketball game last year, some obscure NCAA tournament, some small school, and he's telling me about their third string center and how he's always been a fan. I'm like, I don't even know who this guy's name is, yet you have an opinion on this backup.
He knows it.
Yeah. But yeah, so anyway, Still Together.
It's on a special thing.
Can't recommend it enough. I was there. Kentucky boy, fellow Southern dude, but definitely I'm not as much this way, even though I have traces of it. But definitely he's from the South, but not necessarily – let's just call him an atypical Southern comedian.
Well, a lot like who's capitalizing it now? Trey Crowder with the liberal redneck thing. He's, you know, if you like that kind of stuff, Fritz isn't as loud about being.
Fritz has opinions on that too.
I'm sure he does.
But get James' new album. It's so good. Still Together on a special thing, and I promise you will not be disappointed. A very good listen.
Hell yeah! All right. Thanks for listening. And also, I hate having to say this, but go on and put some nice reviews on that that iTunes. I guess it matters.
Oh, and
I don't know, or wherever.
It does matter, yeah.
Does it get
And some friends were griping at me that I don't plug my Twitter enough. Dave Stone Comedy at Dave Stone. If you want to follow me on Twitter, and we'll talk about some trolls that I had to verbally punch next time.
Yeah, I pretty much bailed on Twitter except for promotions. Anyway, all right. Thanks very much for being a part of the monster that boogies.
The Boogie Monster.